But what does being a Christ-like community look like? We're finding out by studying Philippians in our current sermon series. And in today's sermon, we're going to learn how to show genuine concern for one another's welfare. That's our aim. How we can work out how we can show genuine concern for one another's welfare. Now, we love in our culture, in our world, we love to be inspired by people, don't we? And recently I noticed that Netflix has just released a 3-part documentary series on Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he has many amazing achievements as a bodybuilder, as a Hollywood superstar, and as a politician. And actually, a few years ago, Time magazine put him in their top 100 most influential people in the world list. So he's quite an amazing guy. But I want to suggest two men who should influence us way more than Arnold Schwarzenegger. And these two men are Timothy and Epaphroditus. Why? Because they both had a genuine concern for the welfare of others, a huge concern for the welfare of others. It's inspiring to look at their lives. So I pray and I hope that we'll be inspired by both of them this morning, way more than we are inspired by Arnie. They weren't rich, they weren't famous, they weren't muscular, they weren't influential, they didn't get into Time magazine's list of top people or whatever. They didn't dominate Hollywood. They didn't become governors of California. But they did serve others. That's why they're mentioned in this passage. They did put other people's interests before themselves. Actually, to the extent that one of them almost died doing that. So we're going to study Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30 now, and find out how we can be inspired by them. And this passage, Philippians 2, 19 to 30, is such a lovely passage. It's been absolutely beautiful to study it this week because it's drenched in, it's soaked in care. Paul cares for Timothy. Timothy cares for the Philippians. The Philippians care for Paul, so they send Epaphroditus to care for him when he's in jail. And the Philippians really care for Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus cares for them. He's really upset because he cares so much for them. Everywhere you look, there's people with concern for each other, looking out for each other, supporting each other. It's how a church should be. It's what a Christ-like community is. So let's focus then on the two main characters in this passage, Epaphroditus and Timothy. We'll look at Timothy first. Paul writes, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone else looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." That's Timothy. Now, Paul's writing from prison in Rome. And he obviously is with the Roman Christians and the church in Rome. But from amongst all of those Christians, he chose to send Timothy all the way over to the Philippians. Why? Because he knew that his concern was genuine. It wasn't faked. Timothy didn't put this lovely big smile on Sundays and then lose it in the week. He wasn't just kind and nice on the outside, but indifferent on the inside. He was genuine. He was real. He was actual. He was unfeigned. He was authentic. People know, don't they, if we're genuine. They really do. A couple of stories to illustrate that. My mum told me that she was in this church once and someone came up to her and they had this big smile and they said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And she said, "Oh, how is everything?" And my mum sort of said, "Oh, yeah, well, I'm okay, thank you. Oh, great, that's wonderful, wonderful. And how are the family?" "Well, lovely. So nice to talk to you. I'm praying for you. Have a great week." And my mum was like, she didn't even listen to me. I was trying to tell her how I was feeling. So all that smile on the outside, and I could tell that you didn't actually genuinely have any concern for me. My mum told me that story and it stuck with me. Because people know, don't they, whether we're genuinely concerned for them or not. Another story to illustrate that. Perhaps you've had this experience. I went to the doctor's once, okay, and I come into the surgery and he's sitting there at his desk looking at the computer. He doesn't even move his head. He just says, sit down. So I sit down. What's the problem? Oh, well, I might have an ear infection or something. Tap, 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 tap. Oh, okay. When was the last time you had it? Oh yes. Tap. Presses the button. The printer comes out. Here's your prescription. I'm like, what? Didn't even look at me. Didn't even examine me. Didn't even give me eye contact. It was very obvious that he didn't have a genuine concern for me. Just wanted to get through his patients as quick as possible. If you work for the NHS, I'm sorry. I know that you're under pressure. I wasn't a go at doctors. I'm sure you're not like that, Cleve, and any other doctors here. But it's to illustrate that we know, don't we? As human beings, we sense when people are concerned for us genuinely or not. It's obvious. And Paul is saying to Timothy had that genuine concern. Paul wants us to have that genuine concern for one another. That's what it means to be a Christ-like community. And I just want to say, it's been such a joy joining this fellowship because so many of you do have that genuine concern. It came out in Eric's story, didn't it? And so many have come to the church and have said to me, I was just bowled over by the love that people had for me. I knew it was real. And Claire and I have felt that ourselves. Well done. You are exhibiting the same genuineness as Timothy was. It's actually really sad, this passage, because Paul is saying that in the Roman church, I have no one else like that except Timothy. They were all, as he says, looking out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. The Message Bible puts this verse like this. Most people around here are looking out for themselves with very little concern for the things of Jesus. That's sad, isn't it? That the Christians in Rome were like that, and that's how Paul feels. They were, as one Bible teacher puts it, afflicted with a pathetic self-centeredness. And I think we have to take note of that because our culture, the non-Christian culture in the UK, is very much all about me. Life is about me fulfilling myself. Life is about individual self-expression. That's the kind of culture. It's not so much us. It's not so much I'm concerned about other people in the community. It's I'm first and my feelings and my desires come first. It doesn't really matter about anyone else. So we just have to watch that, don't we? Be careful that we don't end up like the Christians in Rome who just were looking out for their own interests and didn't really care about the things of Jesus because, of course, the interests of Jesus Christ are people. He's concerned for people. So I want to ask you, what are you mostly concerned with in your life? Do you have a great concern for yourself and little concern for Jesus and for the people he loves? Or are you more like Timothy? Are you more like someone who puts themselves last and thinks about the interests of others? That's the challenge for us to think through this morning as we focus on Timothy. But hang on a second, how do we know that Timothy's concern was genuine? How does Paul know? How is he able to write that? Well, it's because he proved himself. How? By serving. See it in this verse, verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. One Bible commentator I read, I thought, explained it really nicely. He said, Timothy put on the mind of Christ. Timothy put on the towel of Christ. Remember when Christ knelt down to wash his disciples' feet? He put a towel around himself in the way that a servant would, ready to pat the feet dry. Timothy put on the mind of Christ. Timothy put on the towel of Christ. He was willing to serve. He was willing to do work for others that wasn't particularly pleasant. He worked with Paul, alongside Paul, to spread the gospel. He sweated with Paul to help the church in Rome. He was close to Paul. It's interesting, isn't it? On this Father's Day, Paul says, as a son with his father, I knew him. Paul had a close bond with him, so he knew that Timothy was genuine because he worked so near and close to him. He'd seen him. Timothy's actions proved that his faith and his concern were genuine. Because it's no use saying you're a Christian, putting your faith in Jesus, and they're not doing anything. Faith is not, I trust in Jesus, yay, I'm saved, good for me. Now my life is all about fulfilling myself. That's not what Christianity is. It's not what faith is. But faith is, I trust in Jesus, I'm saved, now I'm brought out of myself by the Spirit, and I'm learning the art of caring for others. Actually, I noticed that Eric said exactly the same thing when he shared. He said, I'm saved now, and I want to bring joy to others, something like that, he said. I want to be patient with my family. He understood that's what faith is. Yes, I'm saved and I'm forgiven, but I'm changed on the inside. My heart's different, so I treat other people better. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. That's what Christianity is all about. We're not saved by good works. We're saved by Jesus dying for us on the cross. But we are saved for good works. God wants us to do good. He saved us so we can be forgiven and go safely to heaven. But he's also saved us so we can go and change the world. He gives this mission to us. Go and be lights. Go and love people. Go and be different. Go and transform your family, your community, your neighborhood, and so on. Go and be genuinely concerned for the welfare of others. So let's be inspired by Timothy. Let's serve. Let's sweat. Let's put a towel around ourselves, so to speak. Let's give ourselves for the work of the gospel. Let's do things for others, because in doing that, we prove that our faith and our concern is genuine. What's your Christianity like? Is it lots of words, but not much action? Or is it like Timothy, words and actions, actions which prove our concern is genuine? That's Timothy. Let's move on now to Epaphroditus. So like Timothy, he too had a genuine concern for the welfare of others, and that was demonstrated by what he did for the Philippians. Verse 25, Paul says, "But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs." Now, as I said, the Philippians really cared for Paul. And when they heard that he was had been put in prison, they sent Epaphroditus to him to care for him. Now, it was really important they did so, because in the Roman prison system, you didn't get any food. You didn't get given clothing or anything like that. You didn't get given any medication or treatment or anything like that. You had to rely on other people to come and visit you. Paul and the Philippians were worried about Paul, so they sent Epaphroditus with money, and we read that later on, but I'm sure with things like clothes and medicine and stuff like that, and probably some books or scrolls. And it was a massive journey. Epaphroditus was willing to travel 800 miles. Didn't have cars, of course, in those days. And a dangerous journey, because he was carrying a lot of money. He was willing to make that journey because he cared for Paul. Again, his actions demonstrated that his concern was genuine. He was willing to expend himself. In fact, he served so much, he almost died. "For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill." Indeed, he was ill and almost died. He almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Not quite sure why. Maybe the journey was so exhausting. Maybe he caught some kind of infection along the way. Fatigue, whatever it was. But he gave himself so much, traveling that 800 miles and looking after Paul, that he almost died. Wow, what concern. He put himself second and Paul first. He was absolutely determined to help Paul, and nothing would stop him. It was for the work of Christ that he did it. He knew that Paul was striving for the gospel in Rome. He loved Christ and therefore he loved Paul. So let's be inspired by Epaphroditus giving himself in that way. Paul says people like him should be honoured, verse 29. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour people like him. It's quite interesting that Sander mentioned the Chinese word for honour. I, of course, haven't looked it up because I wouldn't know, but it'd be interesting to know whether in the Chinese translation of the Bible it's that same word that you mentioned, hao shun. A lame attempt there. But anyway, Paul really recognises Epaphroditus' concern and says, honour people like him. Give him a hero's welcome. He's given himself for me. Now, in our culture, and also in Greco-Roman culture, the honour went to the mighty and the rich and the powerful and the successful and the strong. But it's different in God's kingdom, isn't it? Epaphroditus was not any of those things. He planted no churches, he pastored no congregations, he wrote no letters. He did it behind the scenes. He did it quietly. He served, he gave. And it's those people, Paul says, we should honour, we should respect, we should look up to, we should listen to, we should humble ourselves before. They are the ones in the church who are so crucial, so important. This is the countercultural kingdom of God. The unnoticed get noticed. The forgotten are remembered. The exhausted are exalted. The backstage are brought forward. And the unrecognized are honored. That's how it works in a Christ-like community. That's how the kingdom of God functions. And actually, I want to honor so many of you now. Because you quietly serve God and the church behind the scenes. But I see you. I see you because I come here in the week. I live up the road. I see you mopping the floors. I see you putting the chairs out. I see you maintaining the building. I see you coming early to practice rehearsals for band. I see you coming early to set up stuff for live stream and so on. I see you serving Christ. I see you putting the interests of Christ and his church before your own. I want to honour you. You're gold. You're the backbone of the church. You are the unseen engine of the church, the unsung heroes. Sometimes in churches, it's people like me, people that they do all the work and they're the, but actually it's you. It's people like Epaphroditus who give themselves for Christ. They're the ones who deserve the most honour. And notice how much honour Paul himself gives to Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. He gives him these kind of three titles in a kind of rising in crescendo. Brother, he's my fellow Christian, adopted into Christ's family with me. He's my co-worker, he's my fellow Christian, working with me for the gospel. But he's my soldier, he's my fellow Christian, striving, struggling, fighting, battling on the front line with me for the cause of Christ. Paul himself honours Epaphroditus by mentioning him and giving him these three titles. Epaphroditus didn't just talk about helping people or discuss it. He went ahead and did it despite the hardships and thus proved his concern for Paul and the things of Christ was genuine. Let's be inspired by him. But here's the thing. The really important thing. A genuine concern for one another's welfare takes more than just being inspired by Epaphroditus. Because Epaphroditus points beyond himself to someone else, to someone greater, to someone who had ultimate concern for his people. See, Epaphroditus risked his life. He almost died helping Paul get food and clothes and money and so on. But his actions point us to someone else, to Jesus. Because Jesus gave his life. He did die. He willingly sacrificed himself. He helped us by dying so that we could obtain eternal life. Jesus had genuine, ultimate concern for our eternal welfare. And it's when we reflect on that, how Jesus didn't just speak words and issue commands, but gave himself for us. When we reflect on that and take that in, we become motivated to do the same for others. As we see Jesus switching places with us, our value system switches from me before others to others before me. As we become amazed that Jesus put our interests before his, we start to put other people's interests before our own. There's this internal transformation as we look at Christ, as we're stunned that he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, chapter 2, verse 7, we become more willing to make ourselves nothing and to become servants by serving the church and serving one another. As we realized he served to save us, we understand that we are saved to serve him. His humbling himself on the cross humbles us to take up our cross and deny ourselves and give ourselves for him. You see, being awed that the King of Kings sacrificed his life for us, it gives us a new mindset, a mindset that says, I am second. Christ and his interests and his people are first. There's that change, that mindset shift or switch. As we're moved by Jesus' genuine concern for our welfare, proved by his sacrificial death on the cross, then we're changed. And that flows into our concern for other people becoming genuine, like Timothy's, like Epaphroditus. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at verses 5-8 of Philippians chapter 2, which say this: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And that is our attitude, and that is how we are changed, so that we show genuine concern for each other's welfare. And as we model ourselves on that and are changed by Christ, it's how we become a Christ-like community. But as I finish, I want to talk to those of you who are not Christians. I wonder, have you realized what these verses mean for you? They mean that God loves you so much, he made himself in the person of Jesus nothing for you. God made himself nothing for you. Have you realized that? He took on servanthood and humanity for you. He humbled himself and died on the cross for you, taking the punishment you deserve because of his genuine concern for your eternal welfare. In love, he offers himself to you. Will you accept him? Or will you reject him? Because refusing him and ignoring him is, that's rejecting him. You're rejecting his genuine concern for you. You're rejecting his willingness to become nothing for you. I urge you this morning, follow Eric. Entrust yourself to him. Put yourself in his arms. Be saved by believing in him, and then allow him to change you so that you can spread his light wherever you are. Embrace him. Trust him. I'm going to pray now as we close. And I invite you to make this prayer yours. Make it yours if you feel that you are a Christian and you need to renew yourself in a fresh concern for other people's welfare. But if you're not a Christian, make this prayer yours to become a Christian, to follow Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Timothy. We thank you for Epaphroditus. But we thank you most for who they point to. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving yourself for me. Thank you for humbling yourself to death so I can have eternal life. I give myself willingly to you now. I follow you. I follow you for the first time, maybe, or I follow you afresh. I trust in you. Change me now. Change my value system. Change my mindset. So I'm second, and you and your people and your interests are first. In Jesus' name, amen. And please do come and talk to me if you prayed that prayer for yourself for the first time, or if you prayed it as a renewing prayer. Let me pray for you after the service. Thank you.